You ready to go?
Yes, sir. Yeah, five after. I took my wife back to Dayton this morning and turned around. Wasn't there very long. Turned around and came back. Got back to the hotel and got some praying done, some studying done. Got all ready to go. Five after. I'm right there in Greendale. I'm five after. Walked out, ready to come. And the rear tire on that Jeep was almost totally flat. It'd been sitting there about 2 hours, 3 hours. And boy, I got on the phone immediately, got a hold of the pastor, which is a miracle that I got a hold of him, because I tried three more times and I didn't get through. But that first time, and tell him I was had an issue. I didn't know how big an issue at the time, but I asked for prayer. And I headed out. I was still rolling, and we're headed up there, and I got down just down to the corner. There was a tire discounter. And I pulled in there, and I just turned around and backed right up to the garage door, and I went in there expecting, fully expecting, one of them boys to come out with air hose and air me up. And they did more than that. They got in, they looked at it, they found a piece of bone broken off. That's what was in my tire, bone. Now, I don't break for animals, not under 100 pounds, but I didn't remember hitting anything, and it was a rear tire. But that guy got under there and got that out of there and plugged it and said, this is temporary, but if you come back tomorrow, we'll take that tire off and fix it. And that's about a $200 Michelin tire, and we tow that thing as well as drive it. So that was a blessing to me, and I still walked in the end of the first song. And that's because prayer. I believe that. Amen. So thank you for praying. And it's good to be here tonight. Now, a preacher one morning was opening his mail, and he opened an envelope, and there was a single piece of paper in it, and it had one word written on it: fool. And so the next Sunday morning, he got in the pulpit, and he said this. He said, I've heard of people have written letters and forgot to sign their names, but somebody wrote me and signed their name and forgot to write the letter. I mean, you'll get that maybe later. Amen. Take your Bible tonight. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. It is good to be saved. Brother, I understand what you're rejoicing about. My mother had the same experience. I think her favorite verse was, pray for my son, for he is a lunatic. For a lot of years, I was a lunatic and a slave to dope and liquor and every other thing. And I didn't turn over a new leaf. I got saved. And that Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That Bible said, he had put a new song in my mouth, in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And you can't fake that very long. People can fake just about anything for a little while. I've seen it in every walk of life. But boy, I'll tell you what, when Jesus Christ moves in for real, the bondage of having to try to fake anything is over. Yeah. That's where freedom really is. It's in the Lord. Mark chapter 4, one verse. Bible says there in verse number 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now there's that's Mark's account of the parable of the sower and the seed. Let's go look at Luke. Luke chapter 8. Now sower, going out to sow. Verse number 5 of Luke chapter 8. The Bible says this. A sower went out to sow. Okay, same thing. His seed. Now, there you got it specifically, what a sower sows. Sows seed. Now, for the sake of illustration, I tried to get on the internet and get an example of, like, if you bought a pack of seeds, flower seeds, how many seeds are in one of them little bags? And those seeds are so little, some of them, they sell them by the gram, by the ounce. I couldn't even get a number. Seeds are little things. This Bible said in both those parables that a sower goes out to sow. And I want to remind you again that they sow seeds. Seeds are tiny. I was in California one year, the preacher out there preaching. We went up into Sequoia National Park. Now, that's where those big trees are. And I mean, they're big trees. And they're called monarch sequoias. And they can be hundreds of feet high. The largest tree in the world right now known is got a name, the General Sherman Sequoia tree. That thing stands 275 feet tall. And is, remember them towers at Fort Benning, brother? They were 250 foot tall we used to jump off of. This tree's taller than that. Amen. That General Sherman Sequoia is 102 feet in diameter. Amen. That is a big tree. I got a picture of me and Brother Steve Andrews standing next to it, and we're like this tall in front of this big old tree. You know, that tree started 2,000 years ago, which reminded me of the fact that 2,000 years ago, my Savior was nailed to a tree. That's about the time that a seed, a cone-like seed, went into the ground 2,000 years, resulted in a tree 275 feet tall. You know what the moral of the story is? Little things like seeds become big things. Now, with that in mind, take your Bible, go to Galatians chapter 6. Yeah, let's pray. Father, I do love you and come to you in the name of Jesus Christ once again. Thank you for the privilege to be here. Thankful for these folks that have come out on a Monday night. Lord God, thank you for these folks with so much musical talent giving it to the Lord. I know the devil would love to have it, and sometimes he gets it from people that got their start in church, but I'm sure glad that I've got to enjoy it here as people that aren't performing. They are praising you with their skills and talent, giving you the credit for them. And I get to reap it. I get to benefit from it. I get to enjoy it. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this time, this hour. And I pray that you give me the ability to say something tonight that'll make a difference in somebody's life. And if that could be so, we'll give you all the thanks for it, all the credit for it. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. All right, now, familiar verse, and it ought to be, in Galatians chapter 6. Now, we're talking about sowing seed. Remember, seeds are small things. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, probably 99% of the time, when anybody preaches on this verse, or even refers to this verse, they're preaching it as a warning, and rightfully so, because it begins with those words. Be not deceived. That's the tip off. Amen. We're prone to being deceived. Amen. And so he says, be not deceived. And Paul said it here and then several other places in his writing. We have warnings in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. So we're capable, we're prone. Amen. That's why it says, be no more children. In other words, we're to be mature when it comes to the Word of God so that we don't get tricked, so that we don't get deceived. We're prone to be tricked by others, by false brethren, by false doctrine. But not only that, we have to keep a guard up against our own heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Amen. Ever notice how people can talk themselves into just about anything? I don't know if you're like me, and you probably are more than you want to admit sometimes, but I'm going to tell you what, we get our sights set on something, and we know we don't need it, and we can't afford it, but we can talk, I can do this all day long, we can talk ourselves into making a way to get a hold of something, amen, and that's just a deceitful heart. I've got stuff piled up, I'm going, what was I thinking? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because that would make you lie if you didn't raise your hand if you said that never happened to you. Be not deceived, it starts out with, and then it says this, God is not mocked. Now here's what that says. That's a reminder for you and I. It ought to be easy for us to grasp this because we're Bible believers, right? It says God is not mocked. What that means is this. If the Bible says it, mark it down.
Yeah.
You can take it to the bank. That's right. That's what that means. We're Bible believers. And then, okay, the verse precedes, begins with those words, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And then the verse declares a profound truth, a law, if you will. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. That's a law of God. That's just as valid as whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's promises in that Bible that we like. There's promises in that Bible that we better heed whether we like them or not because they're just as true.
Yeah.
And that's one of them. Now, I want to say this to get into the message. Terminology, expressions, things like that change. I got into motorcycle clubs after I got out of the military in the 70s. And we had words that we used to describe things that went out of vogue, if you will, and other kind of language came in. That's just how it goes. Amen. But I say all that to say this. There's a saying that we had on the street back in the 70s that has survived 40 years of change. Amen. And it goes like this. What goes around comes around. Now, that was street logic 40 years ago, and it was in itself a warning to be careful about what you do or about how you act because consequences are associated with it, especially regarding how you treat other people. Now, we had that. That was just part of our lingo back in the motorcycle clubs back then. What goes around comes around. Now, what is interesting to me, a lot of expression change. Nowadays, they got a way of talking. I don't even reckon. I mean, the first time somebody said, my bad, I thought, what? What are you talking about? Amen. It took me a while. I'm not so quick. It took me a while to figure out just a lazy way of saying it was my fault, I guess. Amen. My bad. Okay. And then I heard somebody say, don't diss me. And I thought, what does that mean? I don't even know. And then I read a thing in the paper and it said somebody was throwing shade on somebody. I'm thinking, I don't even get it. I don't even understand how you do this. I'm out of touch. Amen. When I got saved, I got out of that world and into the church. And, I guess I'm a little behind in some ways. I took a flight somewhere, Idaho or something one time, and they had a TV show on the airplane I'd never heard of, I'd never seen. But they were using expressions. I'm going, what? That's where some of that comes from. I hear stuff in church. I hear stuff Christians talking about things, and I don't even know what they're talking about. Now I know. Because Christians spend so much time in front of the television. That's good preaching right there. I didn't say you can't watch TV, shouldn't watch TV, full of devil you watch TV. I said Christians spend too much time in front of the TV. I'll amen myself. You saw yesterday, I know how to do it. Amen. I keep preaching like that, I'll have to amen myself. I know. But anyway, I got in a juvenile facility many years ago, and I said, what comes around goes around. I said, and I'm thinking this is a whole different crowd, 16, 14, 15, 16-year-old young men. And I figured probably, and I asked, anybody ever heard that before? And every one of them heard it. That saying has survived all these years, what goes around comes around, and that didn't come from the street. That didn't come from some Blood or Crip or Hell's Angel or some streetwise hustler. That came right out of the King James Bible. And that verse says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. So that's what I want to preach on tonight. That was the first half of the introduction. Okay, now here we go. All right. Verse number 8, that's where we'll go. verse number 8. And here's what it says about verse number 7. It says this. The first part of the verse goes like this. For he that soweth. There we go. Now what are we talking about? You sow what? Small things that turn into big things. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. All right, corruption. Deterioration, destruction, compromise of quality or virtue. I'll tell you, I travel around the country as an evangelist. There are parts of the country I don't want to buy a car. I don't go to Buffalo or Detroit or Chicago to buy a car. I want to get one out of Arkansas or North Georgia, someplace where there's no salt because it'll corrupt an automobile, won't it? You understand that? Corruption is not good. It's never good. And the Bible says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Take your Bible. Go over to, you're in Galatians 6. Just back up a chapter. Look in Galatians chapter 5. It says, sow it to his flesh. Here we got pretty clear. Don't need a brain surgeon. Don't need a rabbi. Don't need a priest. Tell you what the Bible means. It says this in verse number 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are these. Here you go. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That means moral looseness. Hello, welcome to 2018 and probably two generations before that. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. That means partying. I looked it up. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean you don't get to go to heaven. That's not what it means. If you're saved, you're saved. But you play around with that crowd right there. You get yourself, you sow to the flesh that stuff right there. And that verse says that's what you'll reap. To me, that right there is a no-brainer list that any Christian, I'm not saying we don't struggle with things, I know we do. It says that in Galatians chapter 5, 2, the flesh lusted against the spirit. I get that, but I'm telling you what, there's a list right there that no Christian that anywhere remotely wants to be right with God ought to want to stay away from. Yeah. Amen. I tell you what, if you sow to that list, you'll reap it sooner or later. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and the Bible's gracious enough to give you a list of things that you need to avoid. You need to try to avoid. You need to pray about avoiding. You need to pray to get victory over if you're involved in them. There is victory tonight in Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. All right? Now, we're talking about sowing and reaping. And to make matters worse, and you've heard a lot of messages on this, and it's valid to say that anybody that ever preached on it will have say something like this: it is a principle of nature that you reap more than you sow. And I've heard it given as an example, and it's a good valid example. If you plant a kernel of corn in the ground, and that thing grows up, and it's going to have, I don't know, you, some of you farmers maybe, how many ears of corn on an average stalk? Somebody tell me. Yell it out. Two or three. How many kernels of corn on an average ear? 100? 200? I don't know. You don't know either. I could have said anything. But you got the principle. You got the point. That one kernel of corn is going to reap several ears, and it's going to definitely be for one stalk of corn you're going to have. Is that what you call it, a stalk? I'm a city boy. I don't even know. But you're going to have hundreds of more kernels. You reap what you sow. That's a Bible principle. Let me give you an example. In the negative sense, in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, they have sown the wind, they shall reap The whirlwind. Oh, that's reaping more than you sowed there. I grew up in Lucas County, Ohio, up in northern Ohio, in the tornado belt. And boy, there were times I'd seen that thing come through and take down a barn and skip one and take down an oak tree and skip one and take down a house. And I've been out in the fields, and for me, it meant I had work because we'd have to go clean up everything, the damage after a hurricane. But that book says you play around with something and you may reap a lot more. It's a Bible principle. I'll tell you what, I'm glad that it's a principle that works two ways. That's the way the Bible is. The Bible talks about being a two-edged sword. And this principle of reaping more than you sow, it's two-edged as well. Because over there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, the Bible says this. In that parable of the sower and the seed, it says others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. Amen. That's a blessing. That's reaping more than you sow. That book says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. Let me remind you of something tonight. You sow dishonor, you'll reap dishonor. That book says in Romans 13 and verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, you think that you've got some exceptions to make to that? I'm just telling you, there's a Bible principle that you reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. You'll reap more than you sow. You sow to dishonor, you'll reap it. Let me put it in perspective for you. That book says, honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment with promise. And I tell you what's prevalent in society today, and I'm not giving you a dialogue on what's going on out there. I'm telling you what's going on in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of young people dishonoring their father and their mother, and for whatever reason they give and justify themselves. I'm trying to enlighten you about something tonight. There's a Bible principle. And if you sow dishonor, you can expect to reap it. Amen. I'd be real careful about that. Amen. I don't want to reap that. Amen. You sow dishonesty, you'll reap dishonesty. Amen. You say, oh, well, I'm a Christian, I would never lie. Boy, I'll tell you what, I know some Christians that can embellish and exaggerate to the point where, you know, you better be real careful. Amen. If you're not being honest, if you're not being truthful, if you're not being forthright, you're talking about reaping what you sow. Do you really have any, just within the quietness of your own spirit, ask yourself this. Do you really have the right to expect anybody to be completely honest with you? If you're not completely honest with others. Romans chapter 2 and verse 3 says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Listen, these are little errors. We're saved by grace. We waver on a King James Bible. We're rightly dividers. Amen. From the top of our head, the bottom of our feet. But we read through this Bible and we see something as profound as the law of sowing and reaping and all these other verses, and somehow we think, oh, that don't apply. Maybe we should quit trying so hard to be Bible believers and really try to finish this thing out as Bible practicers. Amen. Good thing you said that, because I was getting ready to amen myself. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 28, it says, a froward man soweth strife. Now, that word froward, I didn't use that word when I was in the motorcycle clubs. I never heard that word when I was in jail. We didn't use that word in the paratroopers 45 years ago, brother. But it's in the Bible. I had to look it up. I'm going to help you, because you ain't used it much either outside the Bible, I would think. It means not willing to yield or comply, ungovernable, a disobedient. That's what that means, ungovernable. You know, we talk about, you don't have to be smart, but you do well to be teachable. I don't claim to be very smart. Here's what happened to me. I come into church. I got hair down the middle of my back. I'm getting ready to go to federal prison. I've been on the street for 20 years. I was in the military before that. Amen. And here I am, newly saved, brand new Christian, standing in the fellowship hall of church. And a couple 7-year-olds come out of Sunday school, and we're in between the morning services. And they started talking about whatever it was their teacher taught them, whatever it was their teacher presented them in their second grade Sunday school class. Would that be second grade? And I'll tell you what I did there, and I had no idea. They weren't talking about Jonah and the whale. They weren't talking about Noah and the ark. They weren't talking about David and Goliath. That was about the extent of my Bible knowledge. Whatever they're talking about, whoever they're talking about, I didn't have a clue. And this was a thought that occurred to me. Spiritually, scripturally, I am the stupidest person in this building. At 38 years old, that was not acceptable to a person like me. It wasn't acceptable that the elementary Sunday school kids knew more about the Bible than I did. Say, what'd you do? I shut my mouth and I opened my ears. And I went to every single thing that was going on, whether it was Sunday school or Bible study or prayer meeting or Bible Institute or whatever was going on. I just went. Now I'm about the third dumbest person in the church, but at least I'm not last. You need to be able to be teachable. The last thing you ever want to do is to be ungovernable, because in the long run, you know what that means? You're ungovernable when it comes to the things of God. And we see people get saved, and bless God, that preacher ain't going to tell me what to do. You know what you're really saying? If the guy is shooting straight from the Word of God, what you're really saying, you think God doesn't know your heart? What you're really saying is, you're not going to tell me what to do.
You're right.
Amen. Amen. And you're going to work that out at the judgment seat of Christ. I just hope I'm not behind you. Because yeah. Some of you are going to, maybe not you, but some people are going to be there a long time. That is good preaching. Man, where did I get that? Did I download this from the sword of the Lord? No, I didn't. Bible says a froward man soweth strife. In that same book in Proverbs 13 and verse 10 says this, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know why you're ungovernable? Because you think you're the smartest person in the room. You're not. You know what that Bible says? Well, by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know why he's got it set up that way? Because God knows us. If we thought we had bragging rights on something, anything, that's what we'd be doing. We wouldn't be gathered around the throne of God and saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We'd be walking around going, yeah, look what I did to get here. Buddy, I'll tell you what, God's got to put up with that down here from Christians. He ain't putting up with it up there. I'll tell you what, you don't want to sow strife because you'll reap strife. I lived in a world of nothing but strife and contention and war and killing and jail for 20 years. I found peace when Jesus Christ found me, and I like peace. I don't want to sow strife. I'm just being selfish here. I am not spiritual. I'm just being selfish. I don't want to sow strife because I don't want to reap it any more than I have to. Bible says this, Proverbs 22 and verse 8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, not to mention judgment. Amen. I tell you, the verse that got me thinking on this thing here is in Proverbs 6. And you got a list there of these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. And I'll just go there and read them, because maybe the Lord's wants to put his finger on something other than what I do, because it's all good. Amen? Amen. For three of us, it's all good, but that's enough. We'll go on. Amen. Verse 16, Proverbs 6, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. But I thought God was love. Yeah, he is. And he hates some things, too.
Yeah.
He hates the sin that put boys and girls and men and women in a devil's hell in spite of what he did on the cross of Calvary. You better believe God hates some things.
Yeah.
You ought to be real careful you don't get on the list. And here's the list. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief. Man, I ran with that crowd for 20 years. We are looking for trouble, and we found it. A false witness that speaketh lies. And then the last one, this says, yea, seven are an abomination. That last one said this, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Sowing. Now, what are we talking about? Where do we start with this thing about sowing? What does a sower sow? A seed. That's not getting on Facebook and publishing a blog. I don't even know if those two words go together, and I don't want to go. That's not getting on some big deal and running a person's. A seed is just a little thing, just a little comment, just a little criticism, just a little negativity. And we do it all the time.
Yeah.
I do it all. I'm trying to stop. Lord, boy, laid it on my heart, said, you know, you sow discord. We're not talking about, you know, making phone calls and ratting people out and telling everybody. That's not my job. I'm not here to take people out of the ministry. Amen. That's God's business. But I'm going to tell you what we can be guilty of doing. We get around. That's why I don't go to camp meetings as much as I used to, because preachers sit around and they you know, back in the old days, we'd sit around and snort cocaine and fix every problem in the world, and it was probably a good thing that the next day we couldn't remember. But I'm going to tell you what, I've been in meetings that sat around with a half a dozen preachers and would sit there and critique the whole body of Christ and figure out what's wrong with everybody instead of turning that thing back and trying to figure out how we can get closer to God. Sowing discord to the brethren will cause you to reap discord. I got a wife. I got children. I got a precious church. I don't want to sow discord. I don't want to have my guard up against anything that tries to come and disrupt that. I don't want to be bringing it on myself because I've been guilty of sowing discord myself. Amen? I don't want to reap that in my life. I don't want to reap that in my family. And you don't either. And maybe you never looked at it that way, and now God wants you to look at it that way. We need to be real careful. And brother said it good yesterday. If a person is saved, it doesn't matter what church they go to or not, doesn't matter what denomination, that stuff, they're brethren.
Yeah.
We got the edge on some things. We're King James Bible believers. I don't apologize for that. But boy, you better be real careful.
Yeah.
You better be real careful about making a habit like we're prone to do about all this slicing and dicing other people that are also saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
Because, again, you might not fellowship with them down here, but you're going to be fellowshipping with them up there. I'm not talking about putting up with damnable heresies. You need to know what's what and who's who. I get that. But I'm going to tell you what, if it's... That book says in James chapter 3 that tongue is, I'm not going to go there. It's bad. Amen. Set on fires of hell. Amen. Wicked member. Amen. So we're talking about reaping what you sow. And then let me remind you of something like, now that's the negative part. It's going to get better. All right? Hopefully. Don't let your heart deceive you. Be not deceived. And thinking that you can do any of those things, and you'll be the exception. Because the Bible says, God is not mocked. You're not the exception. Now, there's only one exception to this law of sowing and reaping, and that is God's mercy. You know, I got a hold of this a long time ago. I'm thinking, okay, now I believe the Bible, and the Bible says you reap what you sow, but truth be known, I have sown a lot of negative, and God is just good to me. And I'm thinking, how can that be so? And I figured it out, and maybe someone told me. I don't know. I don't claim to be real smart, but I know this. I got in on the mercy of God, and I try to keep short accounts with God. And when the Holy Spirit bears witness to something in my life, he might do it through preaching, and he might do it through prayer, and he might do it through personal Bible study. But when I see something on there and the Holy Spirit saying, hey, see, he talks to you in a still small voice. I got hearing aids too. He yells at me. I need him to yell at me.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that wish they'd be better off if he did yell at them.
Yeah.
Amen. I got in on God's mercy, and it's there for the asking. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
If it's there for the asking, here's what that means. You have to ask. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about, that book says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody said, well, that doesn't apply to the Christian. And I shut up. I've been working that thing for 27 years. It worked for me. Say, well, how do you know? Because I have gone down on my knees with a burden in my heart and asked God to help me, and I've got up with peace and joy and fellowship restored. What are you banking on? Amen? All right, so you reap what you sow. So this means this. What you sow determines what you reap. And I'm glad there's a positive side to it. And I'm going to get there now. Proverbs 11 and 18 says this. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness. See, all that sowing's not negative. It says in verse 8, part B, it said, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. So this sowing and reaping, it's a law. And you need to be not deceived. God is not mocked. You sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But it's just as valid and just as true, and thank God that it is, that if you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's why the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit, and your flesh doesn't want to. Amen. So do it anyway. Amen.
Yeah.
I say I'm having a hard time. Oh, yeah, no kidding. That's why we get God in on it. That's why you go to the Lord. That's why my help coming from the Lord. If this is easy, anybody could do it. I'll tell you what, in God's economy, anybody can get saved. But it's a crying shame that a whole lot of people that aren't walking in the Spirit. They could. They should. Right now, why should I preach to that crowd? I'm trying to help you. And I'm trying to remind myself, too, that if you sow the Spirit, you'll have the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 5:22 gives you the fruit of the Spirit. They seem like the kind of things that it'd be a blessing for you to sow to if that means you'd reap love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Every time I see long-suffering in the Bible as it applies to God and man, like the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm telling you what, I circle it, I highlight it, I put an arrow on the top of the page because I'm personally very thankful that God is long-suffering to usward. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. If you're long-suffering of others, guess what it means? Amen. People will be long-suffering to you. Gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. It said if you sow the Spirit, you'll have the Spirit reap life everlasting. You sow the Spirit, that's what you'll reap. And remember, you'll reap more than you sow. Amen. Doesn't that sound better than the other list? Doesn't that sound better than reaping from that list of the flesh? Now, let me say this about the flesh. And here's why I say I'm almost done, and you know better to believe that, right? Okay, everything that has to do with the flesh is not wicked, all right? Everything that has to do with the flesh aren't wicked. Some things are, in and of themselves, good things, especially if you're a Baptist, like eating. Eating. One of my wife's favorite jokes that I do tell sometimes is it's a kindergarten teacher, public school. She gave her kids an assignment, said Friday's show and tell. Show and tell, and I want everybody to bring in an example of their religion. All right, show and tell. Friday comes, and so she starts, and a little boy gets up, you know, what's that, 5 years old, gets up in front of the class and says, my name's Benjamin, and I'm Jewish. And he holds up a Star of David, goes and sits down. Next little girl gets up, and she says, my name's Mary, and I'm a Catholic. And she held up a rosary. That was the example of her religion. She went and sat down. Third little kid got up and said, my name's Timothy, and I'm a Baptist. And this is a casserole. Some things in and of themselves aren't bad. Sleeping's good. I like sleeping. Sleeping, eating, amen. Some of those things are okay. They're just necessary because we're human. Listen, other things that we do, working's good. The Bible says you should work. You're supposed to provide. You're supposed to learn, grow in grace. Hey, it's okay to have fun. I got a magnificent Harley Davidson sitting in a garage 90 miles from here. It don't go out much, but when I come home, that thing, I'm taking it out. I'm going to York, Pennsylvania next Wednesday, and then I'm going to ride on to New York City. I'm going to preach in Staten Island one morning to finance the whole trip, and I'm going to ride 2,000 miles in 6 days so I can put that thing away and go on the road. Amen. It's fun. I got peace from God to do it. Amen. Yeah. It's okay to hunt and fish. Not on Sunday morning, though. I didn't say anything about golf. I don't even get that. But anyway, amen. But here's what I'm saying. These sowing to the flesh, everything you do to sow the flesh, whether it's on that wicked list or whether it's stuff that's just necessary or whether it's stuff that we just do, amen, it's all temporary. Everything you do to sow to the flesh is temporal. What does that mean? They end at the grave. Amen. They end at death. You might not be guilty any of the works of the flesh on that list, and I hope you're not. But if your entire life revolves solely around things of this life, you'll have nothing to show for it in eternity. I heard this many years ago. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Help me out, finish it. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what you do here for Jesus Christ is going to make it through. Amen. At Galatians 6 in verse number 10, the next verse down there, we skipped one, but we'll go back to it. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. It says especially. It doesn't say exclusively. It did say all men. So you know what? I got news for you. There are plenty of sowing, to the Spirit opportunities. Guess what? Three guys at that tire discounter in Greendale got a gospel track from me tonight they wouldn't have got if my tire wasn't about 80% flat. And God in his goodness and prayers, I trust, got me there and got me here. I'm going back tomorrow to get that thing repaired. Guess what I'm going to talk about? First thing I said, I'm a preacher. I need help. Well, you could tell we weren't in Vermont because people came, how can we help? Thank God I'm in Indiana. Amen. I said that because of the offering tomorrow night. I wanted you to feel good. Okay, never mind. All right? So, sowing to the Spirit. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall have the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sowing to the Spirit has eternal consequences. Now, I don't like to quote movies, but I'm going to. I'm not going to tell you what movie it is, and half of you already are going to know. Amen? But a guy said this, and it was one of them chop their heads off movie, because I like violence. I mean, come on. I'm a man. I'm a guy. I like guns. I like, you know, I like all kinds of violence. Amen? And so they're riding, and they're chopping each other up in the old days, and old Roman soldiers. And a guy said this, what we do here echoes in eternity. How many know what movie I'm talking about? Good. I wouldn't admit it either. But I thought to myself, that is profound. That is profoundly true, because what you and I as Christians do here does echo in eternity. It'll echo in a couple ways. Here's one. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's going on up there. You sow to the Spirit, somebody else will get in on that. There's another echoing going on in eternity too. Not in heaven. It's like this. Rich man, Luke 16, have mercy on me. And that echo will include weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. You know what I'm asking you to consider tonight is this. Are any souls going to be in heaven because you sowed to the Spirit? I'm glad if you're saved, I'm glad you're saved. If you're faithful, I'm glad you're faithful. If you're a giver, I'm glad you're a giver. If you're a prayer warrior, I'm glad you're a prayer warrior. All that. If you're growing, I praise the Lord. I'm happy for all that. But I've got to present this to you like this. Is anybody going to be in heaven because you handed out a gospel tract, or you helped the missionary, or you prayed for your preacher, or you gathered around an old-fashioned altar when a lost person was in your midst? Are you involved in anything that has to do with a soul being saved? There's a lot of aspects to being a Bible-believing Christian. Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, where the rubber meets the road, everybody in here can have a part of sowing to the Spirit that will result in life, every life. Everybody doesn't have to be a super soul winner. Everybody doesn't have to go to the mission field. But we can all have a part, and we all need to have a part. We're supposed to have a part, and I hope you got a part. Something else. Sowing to the Spirit produces gold, silver, and like we said yesterday, precious stones. You know what those things do? They make for a nice crown to return to the Lord out of gratitude for going to the cross for us. The Bible says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall let the flesh reap corruption. It's a law. But it's just as much a law. And where the verse goes on, it says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The choice is clear. And it's easy. Amen? I didn't say fulfillment of it's easy, but it's easy to see. It's pretty blatant. Amen? So let me just add to this. Why? When I say we, I'm talking about myself too. Why do we spend so much energy and attention and resources on this stinking flesh? All we got to do, and that'd probably be a good purpose of a revival meeting, and it doesn't have to have anything to do with revival. This is what we ought to kind of be reminded of every time we come to church. We've got to, and I don't even want to say like a duty. This isn't a have-to thing. This is a get-to thing. We get to represent Jesus Christ. Right. I'm excited about being a Christian. I was a paratrooper in the Army. I was in an elite battalion combat team, amen, in 1972. I'm in a much more elite combat team now for Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's never asked one thing of me that begins to compare with what he did for me. And this last days thing, I get that. The way I look at it is this. God put me and you here in this horrible time, almost just prior to the Lord's return. He must think we're up to the task. I look at it like that. It's not supposed to be easy. Somebody said one time, paratroopers are always surrounded. I said, we're supposed to be surrounded. We jump into the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
And you and me, we're in the middle of the fight. I look at it like a privilege.
Yeah.
And I'm not going down without fighting. Amen? That's why I hang around with other people that are in the middle of the fight. That book says iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know why I like Brother Holt? Because he ain't changed a lick since I met him. He's just always the same, always focused on the Lord, always encouraged me. Amen? He gets up here, he kids around, he plays music, he has fun, and he quotes Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse. What's that about? That is strengthen you, sharpen you, so that you'll be mindful to do more sowing to the Spirit than you do, to keep the flesh in check more than you do. That thing will run away with it. You know it's true. That stinking flesh that me and you are not in is like a runaway train if we let it be. I'm talking to Christians. This isn't an indictment on a lost and dying world. What good would that do? They're not here tonight. But you and I are. And we've got a gracious, merciful God. And if there's something going on in your life that you need to get right with God, you need to confess, you need to ask God to forgive you, you've been doing more sowing to the flesh and maybe a little more on the negative realm, boy, how about asking God to forgive you? He will. We say, how dumb it is to step into eternity, amen, with the debt being paid in light of the fact that Christ will forgive whosoever shall call. It's the same way of getting right with God. Why do Christians spend their entire Christian life with no peace, no joy, no fellowship with God when it's as easy to get restored as it was to get saved in the first place? Just get honest with God. Say, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's what time it is. It's prayer time. The Bible says, now here's a thought. Why ask a question? Why do we spend so much time sowing to the flesh? Even the things that aren't wicked. Maybe this is why. And we live in such a fast-paced age, it maybe have something to do with it. Sowing to the flesh often reaps instant gratification. Amen? The flesh is not patient. The flesh does not want... I'm talking about good people, all right? Sowing to the flesh produces results. And we somehow have come to think that producing by our own effort is spiritual. Sowing to the Spirit, however, how many of you heard it said? Only eternity will tell what that tract did, what that witness did, what that message did. And we say that, and that sounds real spiritual, and it's 100% true. Only we don't want to wait. That's why the Bible tells us in the next verse, and let us not be weary in well-doing, because well-doing sometimes is wearisome. For in due season we shall reap, ye shall reap, if ye faint not. So let me encourage you. Stay at it. Stay in it. Be mindful. There's a law of God. And the law says you reap more than you sow. But it isn't always negative. And we could, if we would get more taken up with or more concerned or focused on sowing to the Spirit, amen, the flesh would have less victories. We'd have more fruit. Jesus Christ would be more honored. Amen? Let's all stand. Let's all stand. And if you're able, and let me just say, if you've been sowing to the wrong field here, let's do something about it. Let's get our focus changed. Maybe you've been sowing to the flesh. Don't pray for a crop failure. Instead, be not deceived. Get the thing right with God. Amen. You're not going to be the exception. Amen. Be an example of a recipient of his mercy. I tried it. Well, you mean when you got saved? No, I tried it about 3 times a day already. This goes on all the time for me, man. I fight. I got a lot to fight. But I want to fight. Amen. The only thing in the world that scares me is to get out of the will of God.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of that scares me at all. I ain't afraid of dying. I ain't afraid of getting whipped. I ain't afraid of that stuff. But I don't want to let Jesus Christ down. That's a big deal to me. All right? So maybe you've been sowing to the wrong field. I don't care where you do it, but boy, have a talk with God about it. And if you've been sowing to the right thing, stay at it. Let us see. Let us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Somebody help me out. Brother Gabbard, 1 Corinthians 15:58. How's that verse finish? Amen. All right. So, do business with God. Go ahead, preacher.